chapter 15 and 16 this morning. Fairly substantial chapters, but we'll get through and we'll just see what God has for us this morning in these. As Moses goes on to continue to speak to the people of Israel before they enter into the promised land with Joshua. But it says in verse 1 of chapter 15, at the end of every 7 years you shall make a release, and this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. This remission, which is another translation of that word release, as we see it, it's called the Lord's release. And we know that the Lord has done his release for you and I. This is just a picture then of something that's going to happen from you, for you and I, because we had a debt that needed payment, and that debt was sin. And Jesus paid it for us. And so we see that we've been released from that exaction of debt, because we couldn't pay it. He paid it for us. And what a wonderful thing that is. It's the year of the Lord's release. And you see the number 7 there. 7 is the number of perfection, completion. So at the end of 7 years, and you see it all the way through Scripture, that it's a perfect number. At the end of that year, they would make a release, and those things would be paid for and taken care of. And so what a wonderful picture that is for you and I of what the Lord has done for us. But we see that every creditor in verse 2 that lends to his neighbor is going to release that debt. For those that are in Israel, and we're going to see that it wasn't just for the ones in Israel, it was for the brothers and sisters that were in Israel, but the strangers that were in the land, those that were there, weren't released from it. In again, another picture of it. In verse 3, it says this, of a foreigner, you may exact it again. really? So with the foreigners that were there, those that weren't believers, as we see those that weren't saved, and again, the picture is the same for you and I as we look at this and put it together. It says, of a foreigner you may exact it again, by that which is time with thy brother, thine hand shall release it. That which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. You may exact from a foreigner, so that if they're not saved, there is no release from sin. And we realize that that's true spiritually too, that if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not walking with the Lord and giving your heart to Jesus, that there is no release from sin. You have to make a payment for that sin. And that payment can only be done in one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, his blood, his death, his resurrection. And so we see that they could exact it again on those that were in the land, those that were there. They could make those debts real again, in that they could exact payment from them till it was paid off. It says in verse 4, save when there be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance to possess it. And it sounds wonderful, doesn't it, that there's going to be a time when there's no more poor among you. But then down in verse 7, if you just jump down for a second, we'll go back and fill in the blanks. But he says, if there be poor man among one of the brethren within any of your gates in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from the poor brother. And it almost sounds like a contradiction. But in God's perfect order, God's perfect plan, and again, this is what we need to look at, that if everything was done according to his ways, there would be no poor among us. Isn't that strange? We've never seen it, and we never will with sin in the world, because there's always going to be people who don't want the things of the Lord, and they're going to go after the ways of the world. They're going to go after those things that just cause debt to come, and no release from it, because it again, it's a picture of those things that are going to happen in the world, so that God's word can be true and real, so that people can see that God's word is true, and that they can know that there's a way out of their condition, and yet they still won't choose to do it. And isn't it terrible there's ways for man that they can get rid of their sin, that they can get rid of the burden of guilt that's upon them, and yet they choose not to do it because they don't want God. And what did they say about Jesus when he came? We will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want this man. We don't want to be subservient to God. We don't want to owe God anything. We just want to be free. We want to do it our way. And I'm thankful that God has shown us that our ways just don't make it. It's only his way that does it and does it rightly. So that's why we keep coming to him. There's always a release for our hearts. There's always a place of peace and joy and safety for our hearts and our minds if we keep our minds set on those things above, keep our minds set on those things of the Lord and not of ourselves. And that's the only place of safety that we can have. So he says in verse 5, only if you carefully hearken. And notice the wording there. It isn't just to listen, but to carefully listen. Lord, help me to carefully listen when I'm reading your word. Help me to carefully pay attention to those things that you want to say to me, Lord. Not just to read through so I can check off my Bible reading program or so I can get through church quicker. Help me to carefully listen to everything that you say to me. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pay attention and listen to it. We need to listen to what God says. Well, this must be for my husband. It certainly can't be for me. Folks, if you're reading it, it's for you. It isn't just for your husband. It may be for your husband, and it probably is for your husband, but it's also for you too. We need to pay attention to all those things that he says. Only if you carefully hearken. Only. And do something with that word. Only if you carefully hearken. Only then can those things take place, can those things happen that God has said. Only in his order, in his way. And in so much of these next, this chapter and the next chapter deal with his order and his way of things, that there has to be attention paid to those things. Poverty is going to be gone when God's plan is met, not when man's plans are met, but when God's plans. Our government has a plan, doesn't it? We'll take care of the poor and the needy. We'll give them money for doing absolutely nothing. And we'll take care of it. We're not taking care of it, are we? Evidently, man's ways don't work. Only God's ways work. If we would pay attention more to God's ways, only God's ways, then these things would be taken care of in men. And yet, even in Israel, those things haven't taken place, have they? They're still poor among them. And they're still, because they're poor in spirit, but they don't want the solution for it. God, I don't want your solution. And we need to be careful not to point our fingers at them, because our lives are in that place too. I have issues in my life because I'm not carefully paying attention to God's word and doing everything that he says. I'm shaken by things. I doubt things. I get upset. Only at drivers who cut me off. No, not just that, but other things too. Because I'm not paying attention carefully only to God's word, I think I can take care of those things myself. And that's when issues come in, and that's when things fall apart as we see those things. And certainly we go through that way. And it says, only if you carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all of these commandments which I command you this day. For the Lord thy God blesses thee, as he promised thee, and you shall lend unto many nations. But notice, but you shall not borrow. There's wisdom in this. And boy, does this nation need it. Boy, does the world need it. Because we're so busy about borrowing that we are not paying things off. Half the nation right now is in severe crisis because of credit debt. And you go buy houses and you see why they have credit debt. Well, we need this, we need this, we need this, without looking to see that God hasn't said we need all of these things. And the nation's in trouble, and if things ever take place, we're going down the tubes quickly, because those things just aren't going to be right, and God says they're not right, and when God says something is not right, we need to pay attention, because if we go against it, we're going to find out how right it is. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law." But he says, "Owe no man anything." And we certainly, in this country, have debt we owe. But it's hopefully for you and I, it's not in that place where it's so extravagant that we're grabbing a hold of so much that we're owing here and we're owing there and we're owing this and we're owing that, instead of just following God's commandments and God's ways and just coming into that place of just walking with him. Because it says in verse 6, "The Lord thy God will bless you as he promised." If we follow his commandments, as we follow his ways, he is going to take care of us. He's promised. And we go, "Well, Lord, I trust you, but not with this." And he says, "I want you to trust me completely with everything." Oh, Lord, help my heart to get there. Because he shows us our hearts, doesn't he? He shows us how much we don't trust him. I'll trust you unless it comes to my kids. And if my kids hurt, then I'm going to come against you and I'm going to do everything I can, even without seeking you, Lord, to find out how to help and how best to pray. We do those things and we come through those things and we want to be a blessing, but the Lord wants it the right way in his order. And so in verse 7, he says, "If there be poor among you, if there be a poor man among you of one of your brethren within any of your gates in the land which the Lord thy God gives you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from the poor brother." Don't shut your hand up against him. Don't shut your hand and just shut it down. In Proverbs 11, verse 25, he says this, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." As the Lord says, if you do it, I'll bless you. If you come and do this as I tell you. But again, there's the place that we need to go to. Lord, is it you telling me? I see this need, because let's face it, you and I can't complete and fulfill all the needs that are in America. There's just no way we can do it. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God to know when and how and who. Because he has his way, and he has his way of blessing them through us if that's his call. But if it's not his call, we can help all that we want to, and it's not going to be a blessing. It's going to turn out to be a curse. We need to know when God is telling us to do it and when God is not telling us to do it. And that's the importance of being led by the Spirit. In verse 8, he says, "But if you shall open your hand wide unto him and surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth, beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart." Look at what the Lord says about your heart. Jeremiah says the same thing, doesn't he? Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know them? He says the Lord can know them. But he, again, the number there, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. So don't hold back, even though it's close to that time of release. Don't hold back from giving them. And that's what some would be doing, because otherwise the Holy Spirit wouldn't have to say it, would he? There's some that were thinking, "Well, let's see, I'm getting interest out of this, and I don't want to lend him money. If tomorrow he gets freed from it, then no." And the Lord says, "Don't worry. Who's taking care of you? Are you taking care of you, or is the Lord taking care of you?" He says, "If you open your heart to do those things that are right, I'll bless you no matter what the time. The seventh year, the year of release, it is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, it shall be sin for you." Oh, Lord, you caught me again. You show me so many different ways that my heart sins, and that my heart is wrong against you, Lord. he goes on and he says in verse 10, then you shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless you in all your works. Not just in one, not just in one, that one area. I'm going to bless everything that you have. Lord, how can you do that? He goes, trust me. No. I want to see the payment book go away. I want to see the interest come back. I'd like it today, Lord, because you know my needs. He says, I'm going to bless you in all your works and in all that you put your hand to. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee. And again, we see that statement that says the poor are never going to cease out of the land. So we realize that in verse 4, when he says, save when there is no poor among you, that nobody's following the Lord's ways. He says, because of man's heart, there's always going to be poor among you. Oh, isn't it going to be great in the kingdom age when the Lord takes care of everything? And none of these issues are going to be there. Boy, that is going to be wonderful. That there's going to be no 1-800 get cash now and pay 700,000% interest. But we'll put money in your bank for Thursday when you don't get paid till Friday, but you're going to pay 800% interest. There's none of that going on. And it's going to be so wonderful. All of those things are going to stop and cease. But he says in verse 11, the poor are never going to cease out of the land. Why? Because sin is there. And people have sinful hearts that need to be taken care of. Therefore I command you, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to the poor, to the needy in your land. Take care of those needs that the Lord says, and have him lead you in them. And of thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years. Then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from thee. If they become a servant to you, and many would do that in those days, they would sell themselves into servitude, but at the end of 7 years, they would be set free. Oh, what a wonderful thing that the Lord has done. And again, the number seven, that year of completion, that the year of perfection. This is what's going to happen. They're going to go free. And when you send him out, free from thee, you shall not let him go away empty. What? You mean not only do I have to let him go when he still owes me something, but I have to give him stuff to go? And what's the example that we see in Scripture? In Exodus, when Israel came out of Egypt as free people, what did the Lord do? He had Egypt give them stuff. Ah, he says, if I can do it for you, then you can do it for one another. Oh, freely you've received, freely give. Lord, I don't like those verses, except when it comes to me being on the receiving end. I like it then, Lord. I just don't like it when I have to do it. And he says this in verse 14, you shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, liberally, without reproach, liberally, without a hard attitude. You can give something to somebody, but if you're murmuring it and muttering under your breath, it isn't going to help you. You're doing it the wrong way, and I'm doing it the wrong way. We need to do it with that loving heart that just says, Lord, your way is always right. Lord, help me to do it. And isn't that part of the conforming nature of our Lord for us, that he wants to transform us from the natural man to a supernatural man? And that's how he does it, by bringing us into circumstances, by bringing us into situations where we are faced with these things. And then we see where our heart really goes. Oh, what am I going to do? Well, let me show you. I don't think I like that. That's a wrong program, Lord. I don't think that's a good one. He says, you shall furnish him liberally out of your flock. Notice it doesn't say out of your neighbor's flock. Well, Lord, I love you. And I want to help my neighbors, so I'll take from Wade and I'll give it to Bill. How's that? That sounds really good. We got one vote for it, so there we go. We're doing really good here. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee, you shall give it unto him. If he's blessed you, then take that and give it to somebody else. What's he saying? As we look at it in the physical sense, we know what he's saying, but what about the spiritual sense? what he gives us as blessing of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, temperance, goodness, you give to others. If somebody's struggling, you give them comfort. You give them love. You encourage. You strengthen. He says, that's what I want you to do. I've blessed you with peace. Bless them with that peace. Oh, Lord, I don't want to. I don't even like them. That's why I put them over in the corner, because I don't like them. If I liked them, they'd be in front. Oh, that's why I sit on this side, because that side, that's the bad side. You know, I want to be on the good side. And we go through those things, but he just shows us our hearts, shows us where we are and says, do you want to change or do you want to stay the same? Oh, and when we go through some hard things in our hearts, he says, bless them that persecute you. And then he shows us those people that persecute us. And he says, I want you to bless them. I'm not blessing them. Did you hear what they said about me? I'm not blessing them. And you shall remember, verse 15, you shall remember this book of remembrance, Deuteronomy, this book of remembering what God has done for us and all that he said. And you shall remember that you were in the same place once upon a time. And you wanted a blessing, even though you didn't deserve it. And I blessed you. Now what are you going to do with it? Oh, you shall remember that you were a bondman in the land of Egypt, that you were unsaved once, that you were caught up in sin, and somebody blessed you in Jesus' name. He says, I want you to remember that, and I want you to do the same. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. He redeemed you. He paid the price for you. He took the debt and gave it out. Therefore, the Lord says, I command thee this thing today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not when you're holy enough. Today. Oh. And it shall be, if he say unto you, I will not go away from you, speaking of a servant who is there because he loves you, and your house because he is well with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door. It doesn't sound real fun. And thrust it through his ear to the door, and you shall be his servant forever, and also thy maidservant shall do also likewise. So the men and the women, same category, same place, same way. He said, I want you to do it the right way, and I want you to do it well. And I want you in that place where you would just be a blessing to those that are around you instead of a cursing. In Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8, it says this, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, mine ears have you opened. Opened, well, how? By putting an awl through so that your ears were opened to become a bondservant, to become his. He says, I've opened your ears to the truth of God's word. I've opened your ears so that you could be a bondservant, so that you could be my child. He said, you didn't desire sacrifice and offering. Mine ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you've not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume in the book. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now that we're saved, his word is in our hearts and our lives. He doesn't desire just mouth speaking anymore. He wants the heart. He wants the heart given to him. And that's what a bond servant would be. Someone who was given over to his master and said, I don't want to depart from you anymore. I want to be yours forever. Make me yours. And he said, come to the door. And it's interesting. You look at that and you look back in Exodus and Leviticus and the other places and you see those things take place, where they would take the servant and they would take an awl and put his ear to the door and knock a hole through it. And he'd have that earring that would say, I'm my master's forevermore. And people would see that. And they say, I don't know, but we know hearts, and so we know it to be true, that a bondservant, one who has given himself to his master instead of just a hired servant, is worth double what a hired servant is. Because they would work harder, they would work better, they would work longer, they would do everything that was asked of them because they weren't a hireling. But it's interesting, taking in awe, putting it through the ear, means their ears were open. They were listening to the words that were there, but also the ear was put up to the door. This should ring a bell for you. Ding, ding. Who's the door? Jesus. You put your ear close to Jesus and have him open your ear to what he wants to say to you. Oh, Lord, have my ears opened. Just don't take one. Take both of them. You know, I don't care if I get one of those funky ears that have those big round earrings in those things. You know how they open them up and they keep making them wider and wider and still till their ears hanging down to their waist. And it's just like, whatever, Lord, whatever you need to do. But you put your ear to Jesus is the picture. It isn't just a legal thing. It's a supernatural God thing. And that's what we want for each and every one of us, isn't it? That we would be closer to Jesus. I just don't want to be a hireling in the church, Lord. I want to be yours. I want everything that you have for me. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want your love. But Lord, sometimes my heart, my mind are so stubborn that I don't let you do the work that you want me to do, and you keep bringing me into situations, and my mind rebels against you, my heart rebels against you, and I just go my own direction, and I just do whatever I do, instead of just trusting you that you're going to take care of it. Oh, and then we finally learn, and you go, Lord, this is wonderful life, because it's yours. And then we can be like Jesus and say, I always do the will of my Father, because that's what a bondservant does. So, Lord, help me to get to that place to be your bondservant, to walk in that way. So you shall take an awl in verse 17, thrust it through his ear under the door, and you shall be his servant forever. Thank you, Jesus. And also under your maidservant, so men and women alike. It isn't just for the men, it's for the men and the women. The Lord is better with the men and the women than man will ever be. And it says in verse 18, it shall not seem hard unto you. Notice what it says. It shall not seem hard unto you. It's hard to serve somebody when you don't like them, isn't it? It's wonderful to serve somebody when you love them. It's not going to seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant to thee. So these bond servants are doubly better. That's not the right wording, but whatever, you know what I mean. They're better off than the hired servants because they love their master. In serving 6 years in the Lord, thy God shall bless thee in all that you do. All the firstling males that come of the herd and of thy flock, you shall sanctify unto the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Isn't that hard? You look at it, and you see a farmer, and he's given everything over to the farm. All his money is tied up in the farm. Everything is just tied up. There's no free things that are there. And what does the Lord say? When you have a calf, I want that calf to be sanctified to me. I want it set apart just for me. But Lord, I'm just starting to get some return on my investment. And it isn't just the calf. It's the first dollar that comes through in your paycheck. Well, Lord, you know how much I paid for this house. You know I need every penny just to pay the mortgage. He says, you can do it your way, or you can do it my way. Ah, Lord, and when things get tight, what do we do? What's the first thing we drop when things get tight financially? We stop tithing. And the tithe, I don't care about the tithe. God's going to take care of the church. It's for our hearts that we tithe. It's for our hearts to say, Lord, this is yours because you've given me everything that I have. You've given me everything that I am. You deserve all of it. Just thank you that you don't demand all of it. You give some to me. He says, well, give me the first things then. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. How about the third or fourth week? You know, I'll give you the third week's paycheck. How's that? I'll even double it, Lord. But the first has got to be mine. He goes, nah, that isn't kind of my way. Oh, Lord, you're making this hard. He says, it's not hard. If you love me, you'll do the things that I ask of you. If you love me, you'll enter into that place where you get blessed more and more. Oh, you shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose. Time out. Verse 20 there. We're in trouble again, aren't we? He says, you're going to eat it. before the Lord, that's not a problem, is it? But the problem is in the place that he chooses. Well, Lord, can't I do it my way in my place? Doesn't that sound a little bit like Cain? Lord, I know what the requirements are for the sacrifice, but I'll bring you produce instead of a lamb, because I did a really good job with my produce. I did a really good job with my pears. And pray for me, because we woke up this morning, and all of a sudden Kath comes running out to the porch where I am sitting there reading, getting ready for today, and there's 3 bucks under our pear tree, and they're standing up on their hind feet, eating my pears off the tree. Just like... Lord, those are my pears. And I've been blaming the squirrel all these years. And 3 of them, not just one, not the does, the bucks with the antlers. I mean, we got some points on these babies, and they're sitting there, and one of them stands up on his hind legs, grabbing the highest part. Lord, where's our hearts? Oh, my goodness. So many ways he tests us. So many ways he shows us where our hearts are. And aren't you just so thankful that he loves us in spite of what we are? Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. And what does he say? I want you to take that grace and mercy, and I want you to give it to somebody else. Oh, so I want to do it the Lord's way, in the Lord's order. And he says, eat it in the place that I choose. Feast on this in the place that I choose, not the place that you choose. Again, we can choose so many different places, but we need to listen to the Lord, not only in the place that we fellowship at, the place that we live, the place that we work. Let me show you where that is. I think we'd have a lot less problems if we sought the Lord for everything instead of just going, Lord, I got this one. I know where to get this medication. I'll go to Walgreens because I know they got it. Well, I'm not going to Walgreens. I'm going to Walmart because it's cheaper. Well, he says, I want you to go here because this is the place that I choose. Are we seeking him in everything? And you're getting nailed because the Lord nailed me. So I'm just giving out what he gave me, right? That's what I'm supposed to do. He says, you shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place that the Lord shall choose you and your household. I want you to take your family with you. Family unit is important to the Lord. Hang on to that, folks. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have a blemish, you shall not sacrifice it unto the Lord your God. Well, Lord, I'll give you the first fruits, but I'm going to give you the bad fruit. You know, as the pears come off the tree, well, Lord, this one was half eaten by the deer, so I'll sacrifice this one to you today. I don't want that one. I want the beautiful one that's right next to it. No, Lord, can't have that one. That's the only good one I got left, Lord. I'll give you the half-eaten one. He says, nah, how about the good one? I want to see where your heart is. Oh. You shall eat it within the gates. The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike as the roebuck and the hart, only you shall not eat the blood thereof. You shall pour it under the ground as water. We've gone through the blood before, so we won't spend a whole lot of time there. But chapter 16 says, as he changes things now and he goes into the sacrifices that are going to be there, but this is just a picture of God's redeeming work. Now that he has us as servants of his, now that we've gone through that place where he's put a hole through our ear at the door where we're listening to Jesus, he says, now I want to show you the redeeming work that I have for you. I'm going to show you some other things going on in the nation, how the nation can be a blessing, but it's in God's order. It's not in our order again. Oh, observe the month of Abib, which is April, and keep the Passover. That's the month when they came out of Egypt, isn't it? Remember the Passover supper that they had, and they put the blood over the doorposts and ate the lamb, and then they went out of Egypt as free people. He says, I want you to observe this. Why? To remember what God has done. He tells us over and over and over, remember, remember. Even when we take communion, what does he say to his disciples at the Passover supper? Remember me as you do this. I want you to take it often, but I want you to remember. That's what he's telling the people of Israel. observe this month and keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. This is going to become important. So do something with that, underline it, highlight it, do something. He brought you out. Look at verse 3. Same thing at the end of the verse, that you remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. How long? All the days of your life. Every day, remember what God has done for you. Because if you keep God in remembrance, it's going to be a blessing for your day. Remember him. Down in verse 6, at the end of it, it says, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. He wants those things to be remembered. Because why? The Lord has done it. Remember that you didn't do it. You didn't save yourself. You didn't take care of yourself. God did it. I want you to remember that every day, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're on your deathbed, whether you're in surgery. I want you to remember that I am with you and I'm taking care of you. Oh, Lord, help me, because I don't always. In verse 2, he says, you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God. And again, the personal pronouns, he's your God. Is he your God today? Is he my God today? Or is he just somebody that I think about on Sundays and Wednesdays? Oh, Lord, may you be my God every day. Of the flock and of the herd and the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. There it is again. Where the Lord chooses, that's what you do. That's where you go. You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember. There's an opportunity. There's a choice to be made here. You can either remember what God is doing and who God is, or you can forget. And folks, if you're struggling today and you're in that place where your heart is just all over the map and you're not sure what to do, you need to remember who God is, because you're making a choice. If you choose to get upset, if you choose to be angry, if you choose just to go your own direction, if you choose to let your emotions rule and reign over you, you're choosing not to remember who God is, that he can bring peace and joy in your situations today. Remember who he is. Verse 4, it says, and there shall be no unleavened bread with thee. There should be no sin with thee. No continuing sin. We know that we all sin and fall short of his glory. But there's continuing sin, and there's sin that we just fall into that we need to repent of quickly and get away from. Don't allow sin to rule your life. Allow his grace and mercy to rule. Keep a short list with the Lord. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all your coasts 7 days. There's that number 7 again. Neither shall anything of the flesh which you sacrificed the first day at evening to remain all night until the morning. That was the same with when they came out of Egypt, isn't it? That everything was supposed to be consumed and taken care of. Why? That you may not sacrifice the Passover. In verse 5, that you may not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. There it is again. Do you think it's important? Lord, show me what it is that you're choosing for my life. And don't desire what somebody else has. Desire what God has for you. But Lord, how come they get to go there and I have to stay here? How come they get to do this and I can't do it? Says, because it's better for your heart to do what I'm choosing for you, because you don't know what's good for you. And we don't, do we? We look at situations and we say, well, Lord, I want this, and this is the way that I want to go. This is my life. You know, I graduated cum laude from high school, and I'm going to college, and I'm going to this college. And he says, I want you to go to this dinky little college at trade school over here instead of going to Yale. Why, Lord? I can make more money if I go to Yale. Just by getting a degree from there, I can make more money than a trade school. Lord, don't you know? He goes, yeah, I know. And I'm choosing for you the best way. But Lord, I'll have a better name. You don't need a better name. You need my name. Oh, isn't it amazing where our hearts are? Yeah. Yuck. but at the place, verse 6, that the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at evening and the sun, at the going down of the sun at the season that you came forth out of Egypt, and you shall roast it and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and you shall turn in the morning and go into your tents, and 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there's going to be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God, and you shall do no work therein. You mean I can't do anything for 7 days, Lord? Can I even go out and go to a movie? Lord, can't I go out and play golf a couple of days? It says, I want you to remember. But Lord, you know this is a busy time of year. It's almost planting time because April, you're almost getting there, right? The farmers are getting their stuff ready and they're getting ready to get out in the fields and start doing their stuff. He says, I want you to sit for a week. Oh, Lord, this is not a good time for this. Is there ever a good time? No, there will never be a good time. But every day is good to sit before the Lord. Tithe your time to the Lord during the day. Lord, this is a good time for me to sit before you. He says, tithe your time. Give me your time. I'm not asking for much. I'm just asking for your attention. Because I want to speak to you today. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to tell you how much I've taken care of you. Isn't it amazing that he says, I want you to keep the Passover and roast your meat? Where are they getting the meat? The Lord's provision. They had Passover in Egypt when they were slaves. They had no rights for anything. They had no money. They had no nothing. All they had was to be a servant. And the Lord provided lambs for each family. Gee, how'd you do that, Lord? I have my ways. I can take care of you. Even if you're a slave, I can take care of you. If you're free, I can take care of you. If you're anxious, I can take care of it. If you're upset, I can take care of it. If you're bitter, I can take care of it. Oh, Lord, do I trust you at all? This is not much. Yeah, I got a little bit. It's coming, though. We're going. Be encouraged, folks. God is going to take care of you no matter what. And then in verse 9, for time's sake here, we got to get going. He says, 7 weeks you shall number unto thee and begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as you begin to put in the sickle and the corn. So at the early harvest, the barley harvest, he says, I want you to remember me. And you shall keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering in your hand, which you shall give unto the Lord your God according as the Lord thy God has blessed thee. He says, I've given to you. I want you to give back to me freely. I don't want you to withhold it. I don't want you to give it to me because you get a tax break. I want what you have because you get to do this. Oh. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you can't rejoice with a bitter heart, with an anxious heart. But he wants our hearts free from all of that, doesn't he? And he says, as your heart becomes free, I want you to rejoice in me. You and your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite that's within your gates. Who's that include? Everybody. The stranger, the fatherless, the widow, those that are among you. None of us have any option out of this. We're all in one of those categories. And he says, I want all of you to rejoice, which the Lord thy God has chosen to place his name there. There it is again, 4 times the last couple of chapters. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and that you shall observe to do these statutes. And then you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall when the harvest is over. He says, I want you to observe this feast after that you've gathered in the corn and the wine, that you shall rejoice in the feast, you and your son and your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a solemn feast unto the Lord your God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore you shall surely rejoice. And then he says in verse 16, 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place, and these were the feasts that they would appear before the Lord. They would come to that place that the Lord said. But look at what he says to them. 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. There it is again. in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. I want you to bring your tithe to me, the Lord says, even if it's your heart, because that's what he wants anyway. He says, if you have nothing else, you have praise and worship you can give to me. Don't come empty. Don't come with a hardened heart that can't praise the Lord. And doesn't he say that to you and I as we get to come to church, as we get to come and do our devotions in the morning before him? Don't come empty. Come with a heart that's rejoicing in who I am so that I can bless you even more. Oh, every man shall give as he is able. He doesn't demand the same thing out of everybody. He just wants our hearts in the midst of it. According to the blessing of the Lord God which he has given you, judges and officers shall you make in all your gates. I want some governmental parameters around you because of the way that we are. We need those, but we need right judges and right officers. We just don't need anybody to be a judge and an officer. We need right ones. Our government is not making good choices for judges and officers. That's enough politics. Let's go. Judges and officers you shall make in all your gates, which the Lord thy God shall give thee. In the gates is the place where the judges and the officers would meet, and they would make decisions on issues that were there before them. They were done in the gates, the entrance to the city. They would find them there. Now we have town halls that we have to go to, and you have to get a lawyer to go there. Thank goodness he's our lawyer, huh? Which the Lord thy God gives thee throughout all your tribes, they shall judge the people with just judgment. Do you think he's going to hold judges accountable if they're not judging righteously? Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about it, folks. We don't have to murmur and complain. We don't have to write editorials. We don't have to picket. We trust our God. God, you know that they're there. You know what they're doing. You take care of them. Let my heart be free, so that I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to get anxious because there's a bad judge in front of me. God's going to take care of you. Oh. Verse 19, you shall not wrest judgment, twist judgment to make it go your way. You shall not respect persons, neither shall you take a gift. In other words, don't take a bribe so that you judge one way or another. For a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Bribes do that. That which is altogether just shall you follow, that you may live. He says, if you do it, you're going to have real life. Oh, and isn't that what we want? I don't want a bad life. I want a real life. I want the life that God has for me. But that means your ears up against his heart and you're listening again. God, help me to listen. Help me to be free of these things that rule me, and let me be under you, and let me be your bondservant, Lord. That which is altogether just you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. I've given it to you. I want you to be there. This is where I have you. Do it rightly. You shall not plant a grove of trees near the altar of the Lord your God which you shall make, neither shall you set up any image which the Lord thy God hates. As they would make the Lord their God, then all of a sudden they'd take some of the things from the world that were around them. Well, that's pretty the way that they did that. Let's do that for our God too. Says, I don't want the stuff of the world around me. I want you to be free of those things. And Israel would start planting groves, groves that were used to worship Molech, where they killed the babies, Ashtaroth for sexual pleasure. They would start putting up these groves and these trees and these signs, and the way that they did things, they would do things. We even had a king in Israel who went to another country, saw a temple that was there and said, oh, that's a great temple. So he brought his guy, his architect from his country, and said, I want that in our country. Put it right near where God is. Folks, sometimes we make idols where God should be. And he says, I'm not sharing my kingdom with anybody. And folks, if you've made somebody else your God in your heart, your own emotions, your own feelings, your own doubts, God isn't going to dwell where there's another God. He wants you completely. He wants me completely. That's how much you're worth, that he would pay a price for somebody like you and I and love us completely like that. Lord, help me to love you back the same way that you love me. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord, and know that you've spoken, I know that you've given ears to hear, Father, as we sit before you and just meditate on the things that you're speaking to us, may we have a heart after you and you alone, and remember what you've done, that you've set us free from Egypt, Lord, from being slaves to sin to being free in Christ. And you tell us to remember, but you tell us to do things decently and in order. You tell us to do those things that would honor you at the place where you tell us, Lord. And so, Father, please have our hearts this morning and show us if we've wandered from those directions, if we've done things on our own just so that we could do them and have them rather than listening to you. We're so worried about where we're going to get things when you provide everything. So, Lord, help us not to be upset, not to be entangled with those webs that sin would bring, but to be free of those this morning, Father. So have your way with us. Speak to our hearts. We love you. We thank you for your freedom, for your provision, Lord. Thank you that we can remember you, and help us to do that this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.